and our understanding to know how important it is that we give unto you. It's a principle, Jesus, of seed and harvest. What are we trusting in? What we can do or what you can do? What are we really believing in? What we can invest in or what you have already invested in our lives? We ask this seed this year that's planted today that you will open up new givers, new hearts that will support with all their heart, understanding, God, that they are sowing into your economy and that you will bless them as they do that. Bless this seed and use it for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, you can't do that. God is so good. Go ahead. You're all right. We'll throw you up here. Might as well try to play a little God is good. I hope your new year is off to a very great and wonderful start. I know mine is. I am energized. I am charged. I am ready to roll with the Lord, whatever he has me to do. Go and be finding Proverbs 3, first of all, and then we'll get into our message. Breaking the power of me. Now, this message will hit every one of us, including your pastor, because we get so in the way of God. And we think that we're surrendering, we think that we're submitting, we think that we've got it together, and we find out we don't. Look at the wee one coming up, as the Irish say, the wee one. What is the power of me? Go to the next slide, Christian. The power of me is this: not surrendering my attitude, my desires, my thoughts, and my actions to the Lord. That covers a lot, don't it? We may think we do, but do we? Let's take this morning, just for instance, as a very simple thing, very surface thing. As we're in worship and praise and the songs are being sung, are we surrendering all of our attitude toward worship? Is it our desire to even worship? It's even our thought process to worship, and definitely is in our action to worship. Me is not surrendering these things. Why? Because human nature teaches us survival. It teaches survival. Our body automatically begins to heal itself when we are injured. It tries to fight to live. Now, some of us were raised in different backgrounds. For military people, man, that's hard to get through to them. No offense, guys. It's hard. And you're married to one. For military folks, it's hard because of their training and their upbringing and their resolve to the armed forces. And a lot of folks, it's hard to get through that barrier. It's hard for men in general sometimes to get through that barrier because we want to be a man. We want to be strong and carry the world. Whatever we were raised with or how our background is will dictate a lot of course, how we turn out as an adult, of what me contains, what me is. And I want this year, as God began to deal with me for 2013, to begin to surrender all to him and walk again in complete faith unto him. Now, there are three categories, they're not on the slideshow, so you can keep it right there for a minute. Three categories that are the most important in our lives. Number one, most important thing to us as human beings, bar none, is money. And you can say it's not, but it is. Money, protection, we want to be protected, we want to feel safe, and health. Wouldn't you say that's probably the three top concerns for most humans? My money, my health, my protection. So what do? When it comes to money, we depend on our jobs and our bosses instead of our God. I have said many years, and Melanie's heard me say this through my whole career, where I was in retail and all that God is our source. My job, she's heard me say, my job is not my source. It's an avenue God blesses me with. But God is the source of that. So we don't surrender our money because we think, first of all, it's ours, and we're operating by our management of it instead of God's management of it. It's a very sensitive issue. It's very sensitive because it's real. Let's go to health. Health would concentrate on what? Doctors and diets. Nothing wrong with doctors. I've been the doctor many times. I mean, for checkups and blood work. Head doctor. I've been many times. I've been on diets. I believe in. Now, let me get back up to money. I am all for good stewardship. Saving, spending right, balancing, budgeting, investing, giving. I'm all for that we do our part. But then we depend on God to make the way as we sow into his economy. Now, just to say this, and I'll move right on to health, I promise. I ain't going to stay on money long. But just to say this, because churches to hear this. I hear people say, you know, well, Pastor, I give money to here and here, and I bless my family, and I bless this, and I bless that person, and I bless this person, and I help this person, and all that's wonderful. But the way we give unto God is really through one main source. It's through the local church. That's why it's set up. The Bible says to bring your offering, your tithe before the Lord. How do you do that? The local church is the capacity that you support that in. So that's where it comes to. That's how you support God. All right, health. We depend on doctors and diets. You know, instead of, once again, depending on God. God, you're bigger than this problem. You're bigger than this issue. God, you're bigger than this. It's society we've just gotten so spoiled. Church, what do people in other countries that don't have doctors do? These poor nations. You know why there are miraculous healings in other lands? They don't have another option. It's God or die. That's why. You watch these crusades in India and Africa, something where they have no medicine and no money and no medical attention whatsoever. People are blind and deaf and lame and sick. They come and thousands are miraculously healed by the power of God. They have no other avenue. Are we giving God complete surrender? Are we allowing him to bless us with our health, to bless us with our money? And then we come to protection. We want to be safe. I said this Wednesday night, I'll say it all along. I'm all for bearing arms. I'm for that. I believe in that. We have the right now to do that. But we keep our we think of protection as guns and alarms instead of God. Yes, we use sense. We protect ourselves. We're aware of our surroundings. I'm not going to, you know, walk through the ghetto at 1 o'clock at night. Hey, look at me, y'all. Want some? That's ridiculous. But I'm not going to live in fear either. And so those are three categories. I began to do this message. I got thinking money, health, and protection. And are we relying on God for those three areas of our lives? Or are we just letting man be that answer for us or be that equation? Look at the next slide. This is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now, I find it interesting, the word trust means to depend on. And the word lean on or lean not means that you are not depending on your own instincts. Now, that really breaks it down clear. Rely on God, trust in him, don't depend on your own instincts. Because our instincts are normally, when it comes to, you know, our instincts are contrary to God in the flesh. We panic, don't we? The first sign of trouble, we panic. Y2K, there was panicking going on. This past December, there was people were selling their things and moving to different places and following false prophets out of panic because the world was going to end. Panic. When we get low in our finance, panic. Marriage is a little bit rocky, panic. Children are rebellious, panic. We get a pain in our body, panic. Everything is panic because that's our instinct. We're all, by nature, somewhere inside, hypochondriacs. We all just have our own issue. If I told y'all now that there's an 8-foot black snake in my office, some of you would not hear another word I said, rest of service. Even though that door's locked, it is secure. Y'all would not get that out of your mind. It can't hurt you. It's locked away. Can't touch you. But in your mind, all Sierra's got to do is touch my mom's shoulder. Ah! She done pictured that black snake wrapped around her neck as a new necklace. And don't touch her, Sierra. She's very sensitive. But that's how we are. We panic about things that aren't even threats to our lives. The old saying, most things we fear won't happen to us, but we worry all the time, don't we? We worry all the time. We have a chest pain. We automatically think it's a heart attack, and we're dying. We're Fred Sanford. Here I come. Here, I've seen this. You know, could be a stretched muscle. Could be indigestion. It could be your wife. Could be a lot of things. But we panic. We need to trust again in the Lord with all of our heart and trust that God is able to keep us and protect us and bless us in this economy. But when we fail to give God all of ourselves, our money, our mind, our health, our family, our marriage, our attitude, our desires, when we fail to give Him all of that, then we are operating on what we can do for ourselves, not what God can do for us. That's a principle, church. That's a seed harvest principle. That what we sow into is what we reap out of. It's funny how we know that in everything, but when it comes to our finance. We know that if we yell at our wives and call her ugly names, she's not going to say, well, hey, honey, you want me to cook you a nice dinner tonight and be loving to you? No, she's going to slap the living daylights out of you if you've got any kind of gumption. You sowed that seed. You're going to reap that harvest. Seed and harvest never fails, whatever we're doing it in. If we sow our trust in God, He will lead us and direct our paths. Go to the next slide, Jeremy. Oh, go back one, Christian. The word acknowledge actually means, I looked up the word acknowledge in Hebrew, and it's got about that much definitions. It's huge. But the first word that pops up is know. So, in all of our ways, know Him. Fellowship with Him. Spend time with Him. How else can we get the direction of God if we're not spending time with Him? If we don't know Him? You know, that's why it's important during as we worship and sing songs of praise and worship. You know what we're really doing? We're not singing songs about God. We're singing songs to God. There's a big difference. If we would change our mentality to come in thinking I'm singing to God, it would change everything. If I was some hot country stud with my Levi's and cowboy hat and boots and my deep voice and I was saying, y'all sing with me. I love you, baby. Sing it back to me. Oh, I love you. But y'all be singing right to that guy, worshiping Him. When we come to the house of the Lord, we're singing to God. That's how we get to know Him. We had a healing happen Monday night too, a physical healing. They don't go to the church here. There's another church they go to. They were here. And at the end of service, we're dismissing, trying to dismiss. Nobody wanted to leave. We're trying to dismiss them. And he comes up, tells me he got healed in his neck. I'm like, wow. So I said, why don't you testify about it? He'd been having neck, he couldn't even turn his neck. All just neck pain, shoulder pain for weeks and weeks and just been having pain. And so he got up here and he was turning his neck and said, look at this. Said, during the singing, before the food break, during the singing, he got healed. God touched him. He went away moving his neck. I say that is the power of God. And that, church, is what we need to rely on. It's Him. Acknowledge Him. Know Him. Worship Him. In that worship, in that knowing Him, in that acknowledging Him, things happen that we can't explain. Things happen. Next slide. Proverbs 16. A few chapters over. 16, verses 2 and 3. God has mighty things He wants to do for us if we'll just let Him, church. If we'll just let Him. He wants us to be blessed. Proverbs 16, verse 2 and 3. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Boy, ain't that true? Can't we justify our lives? And our actions, we can justify those every time. You deserve that. It ain't that bad. God knows, understand. Da, 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 da. And we may think we're doing all we can. Lord, I'm going to do it my way. But God weighs it. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit. You know, commitment is some of the hardest things. Gym memberships this year, of course, as we know, every year, they spike in January and February. They'll get all these people that's so excited. Oh, man, I'm going to look like that model. And so they go get their gym membership. They sign up, pay the price. I'm committed. And they go January, pretty regular. February, pretty regular. Half of March, and they start stalling. And by the time Easter Bunny comes, they've just kind of, oh, yeah, I go to that gym. Oh, I haven't seen you in a few weeks. Yeah, it's been a little while, but I still go. It's hard to commit, because commit, especially committing to God, because we don't always see what God's doing. Just like when it comes to anything in our lives, when we like our family, our children, you may have a child you're worried about. It's hard to commit that child to God because you want to fix them. I'll fix them. Hey, this straight, backhand them. Now, that ain't going to work. You got to trust God. I mean, you backhand them when they're little, yeah. But when they get bigger, no, God, I got to trust. I got to trust. It's hard to do that. I want to challenge this church because this is my job as your pastor, as the messenger for this body. Continue to trust God with your life, with your finances. Milk goes to $7 a gallon, don't mean you don't give to God, church. If gas goes to $5 a gallon, don't mean you don't give to God. But James, you're trusting the price of gas more than you're trusting the size of your God. I hear people tell me that all the time. Brother, I can't give. My heater broke down. Mine did too. I didn't stop giving. Church, if I didn't give every time I had something broke down, I would never give. I've drove used cars my whole life. I would never give. You know how many times I've had $300 or $400 car bills? I ain't gonna rob God. I ain't gonna rob God. Well, God, no. God's my source. Once I begin to place my faith in me, then I'll get the reward of who I am. What can I do in my life? Nothing. My heart beats because God tells it to beat. My mind works because God tells it to work. God is my provider. God always has been. And God has always raised up people. There are people God's put in this ministry for a season to get us through to the next season. To the next season. God has raised up people to bless and be here when it was the right time. Commit your ways to the Lord. Commit's hard. But when we commit and trust, it's like your marriage. You don't throw your wife away. Well, some people do now. You're not supposed to throw your wife away when you have problems. You commit to them. Your wife or husband is not going to be perfect by any means. There's going to be things that drive you crazy about them. But you're committed to a marriage. You've taken vows before God, saying, I will love them all the days of my life. Let no man put asunder what God has put together. We all have problems. We commit to it. And I'm going to tell you something else that I find very strange. We can commit to things we like. It's the things we don't have an interest in that's harder to commit to, isn't it? And what God's wanting us to do is commit again to Him. We can't see God move sometimes. I understand that. We can't see God take our money and multiply it or take our body and heal us. We can't sometimes see that. If we can go to the doctor and say, Doctor, make me better. Take three of these and call me tomorrow. We feel safe with that. Man, God is wanting our dependency. Here's what I feel in my spirit. That we have so been spoiled by our blessings, church, that we have become arrogant because of our blessings. 3/4 of the world lives on less than $2 a day. That's a fact. 3/4 of this globe lives on less than $2 a day. We have been so blessed, we have forgotten to depend on God again. You know, one thing I admire about my grandma, she is a very frugal woman, hangs on to everything. Everything has value to her because she never forgot the generation she grew up in with having nothing. What my grandma has today versus what she has a child, she'd be a millionaire compared to what she has a child. God has blessed her life through the years. But she never has forgotten how important value of things are because I didn't have anything. Some of us have gotten so blessed that we have forgotten the value of what it is not to have anything. Because we, all of us in here, have a home, we have cars, we have clothes, we have food. All of us. Yeah, we may be struggling. But you're making more than $2 a day. And so what's happened, the enemy's come in to blind us of all that with these things, to remind us, hey, suddenly, don't need God no more. I got a good job, making good money. Got a nice house, things are right, 2 dogs, 3 cats, 2.5 children. Things are wonderful. And we've drawn away from committing again to God as our source. I don't want to be guilty of that, church. I'm talking about me, James, because I have too. I don't want to be guilty of, here's what happens. We have become so independent that we fail to be dependent on God. We take great pride in saying, yeah, I went to college and earned this, and I make this, and yeah, life is good. Take God's hand off of it, see how good it is. I mean, really, every blessing you get is from God. Everyone. And some people get mad when I say that, because they're like, God had anything to do with this. I work. No, get off your, that's all self-righteousness and pride. Every blessing is from God. Every moment we wake up is from God. Every breath is from God. Every day you punch a clock is from God. Every day you're able to go to Food Lion and pay for your groceries, that is God. Get you out of the way and get God back in the way. It is Him that blesseth. It is Him that restoreth. It is Him that healeth. It is Him that protecteth. It is Him that does all things for our lives. Jesus alone. We need to return to that again. Quit being so proud of what we've accomplished. And it's so hard for us to get through because of the human nature that always wants to succeed. Success is wonderful as long as God gets the glory. Success is great as long as God's always first. Bearing arms is wonderful as long as our protection first is in God. Next slide, Jerry. That's Christian. We know this verse, the one word. Didn't come off the screen there. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Boy, ain't that the truth. Pride always comes before destruction. Not after, before. We read count after count of where pride destroyed God's people. Remember Cain when he brought the offering to God and God said, Cain ain't the right offering. Bring me a new one. And that would tie in even with today's church, people not bringing the right offering to God. Bring the right offering. Mm-mm. Take my offering, God. No, it's not the right one. Bring me another one. Instead of Cain just saying, you know what? You're right, God. I'm sorry. I will surrender and bring the right offering. He got mad and got proud and says, I ain't bringing it. Take it or leave it. We know what happened to Cain. Didn't turn out well for Cain. Pride. Pride got Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Be like God's eyes be open. Pride. We see King Nebuchadnezzar, who was turned into a beast. Remember that story? Turned into a beast. He's walking his kingdom. Look at what I've done. Look at what I have built. Look at what I have planted. Look at what I have. And man, God hit him. And he was in the field, started growing his nails out, his hair long, and was eating the grass. Now, I know what some of you scholars are thinking, because you're a lot smarter than your pastor. Pastor, that was symbolic of something. It was talking about that he had a beastly nature, not a beastly outward. The Word of God is very clear in that, church, that he was turned into a beast of the field, eating grass like an animal. God took him from kingship to a beast, from a position of honor and glory to a position of embarrassment and humility. And then when he came to himself and repented, God restored him back out of the field. We start tooting our horn on what we've got. Even Solomon, remember, said that. Solomon's like, look at all I've done, but what does it mean? What does it mean? I've got nothing. I mean, my life's almost over. What have I accomplished? Think of all your accolades, all you've achieved through your years, all the medals, all the awards, all the certificates, all the bonus checks, all the transactions, whatever you've achieved in life. When it comes down to it, it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is the next step. Eternal life. That's all that matters. But we put so much pride in this world, in this generation. And God wants us to get out of the way so he can bless us. I really believe this. I believe that we are holding back the hands of God. We are. with our unbelief, with our non-surrenderance, with our trying to get me to do it instead of letting God do it. He wants us to get out of the way. First Peter tells us to cast all of our care upon Him. All of it, because He wants it. But we carry that. And we try to figure that out. And we try to talk everybody else's problems out. And we try to appear smart and wise when we're not. The only wisdom comes from surrendering to God and His counsel. Next verse, Christian. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end, therefore, is death. It is a hard thing for humanity to surrender to the power of God because they got to get all the me stuff out of the way. It's a new year. How did me work for you last year? I don't know. Maybe it worked okay. But I want me out of the way, church. I want God in the way. As 2013 is here now, I want to spend this year sowing into God's economy with my money, with my health, with my marriage, with my kids, with this ministry. Everything's in your hands, God. No more. God, I want to be out of the way. I want you to bless it. God, I want you to raise it up. God, I want you to touch it. I want each person here to have that spiritual experience that God has waiting on you. There's an experience waiting on you if you'll open up. But man, I feel spirits in this church so many times. I feel spirits have just shut down. Man, I feel it. And church, I can't fix that. I can just preach the word and let the anointing of God do the work. But we got to get past this. We can't reason God like we can a history lesson. We're doing too much reasoning and not enough surrendering. I'm going to be honest with you. Call me just shallow if you want to. Call me shallow. I don't have to understand everything God does or why He does or how He does it. I just want to feel Him. I just want to know. When this young man left Monday night, I don't think his question was, you know, I just don't know how that happened. Now, let me try to figure this out. How could that have possibly? Because I went up there with the intent of it. Absolutely not. And man alive, how did that? I don't think he left with that intent. I think he left with, my God, something happened. And Dad, I can't explain it. You know, Mom, I can't explain it. But man, something hit me. I ain't. His exact words was, I felt something I never felt before. Wow. That's wonderful. Don't you want to feel something you never felt before? God has that waiting on you. And I'm talking about even those of you that have felt the real power of God. There's other things God wants you to feel. Do you realize there's other experiences more than just the one experience you've had of, you know, following the Spirit or praying your prayer language or feeling the goosebumps? There are other experiences that God has for you. I had one Tuesday. I was going to pick up Jamie from practice Tuesday evening. I was on Raider Road, and I was reflecting on Monday night service. And I was reflecting on all the people that were here up at the altar that had their hands raised, were just praising God the new year in. And I felt a presence of God come in my car on my flesh like a bolt of lightning just for about 4 or 5 seconds, all it lasted. It just came in, whoosh, it was gone. I had never felt that before. I was like, wow, that was different. It was just this different presence of God I felt. See, that's what I want all of us walking in this year. That's when strongholds are broken. That's when healing comes forth. That's when peace is restored and where joy floods again. We are carrying such burdens, church. We are so strapped. And I cut one of my burdens off last week. You wouldn't hear Wednesday night, you didn't hear this announcement. But I cut my burdens back. I've left the doctor's office for my part-time job because I had to let something go. I couldn't do it anymore. I was carrying too much. So I cut it out. And I'm back all here full-time, completely. I mean, I was before, but I just cut that part out. So, it don't mean you still text and call me with stuff. It don't matter. But I'm here, and I'm available. But I cut it out. It was a good part-time job. I was getting paid good money for part-time. And I had to really think about it. And God reminded me, look, who you trust? You're trying to carry this to earn a few extra dollars whenever I'm the God of all things. I'm the God of all. Why do we do that? How many times do we pray and sing and tell each other? Von Steel tells Joe. Joe discouraged. Von says, don't worry, Joe. God will provide. Amen. So Joe says, is he going to use you to provide? Well, I didn't say I can provide. I said God will provide. But that's how our mentality is. We preach it, we sing it, we say it, but do we live it? Do we walk it? Do we experience it? So God began to check me on that because I was burned out. I couldn't keep doing it. I said, okay, God, I'm going to cut this out. I'm going to cut this extra money out. Trusting you, Lord, to make a way. Because it came in very handy. Got three kids still in the house, church. I'm sure a lot of y'all don't have kids in the house. I still got three kids in the house. I got a big family. Five of us. I can't even book a regular motel because we got five people. You ever try to book a motel with five people? You know what I'm talking about, Rodney? We talking about going to Charleston last year, so I try to pull up rooms. All of them, I had to get two rooms. Two rooms. Because they don't have, like, the suites and stuff in a lot of those hotels. You got to get, you know, went to Wilmington 2 years ago. We had to get two adjoining rooms. I had to pay for two rooms. So instead of $100 a night for my family, it was $200 a night for my family in a ratty motel. Got to get two rooms. It's big. Family of five. We go to a restaurant. How many? Five. We're waiting 2 hours. Are you kidding me? Really? We have a big enough table for you. So easy when you have two. Oh, my gosh. Me and I got a restaurant, too. Come out here. I call for a hotel. I meet two. No problem. Which is great. Two. Two's a beautiful number. Ain't that a song? Two. Anyway, I thought it was a song. But anyway, my whole point is I got a big family. And they cost money. Got a daughter getting ready to go to college. A son getting ready to start driving. She's already on my insurance. Got another one getting ready to add to my insurance. Got a 10-year-old still coming up. Yeah. Did you say Calgon? Yeah, take me away. So I said, God, I'm going to trust you to provide for this family and continue that we don't miss a beat and that we're able to meet the needs and do what we need to do. So I cut it out. So just so y'all know, I'm not there no more. I've cut it out. I'm going to miss it because I love the people, love the staff, love the patients. But I couldn't keep doing it. So are you going to be in this year in 2013? Are you going to be in? Are you going to break the power of me? I got a part two tonight on this of a great story, man, never read in the Bible. It talks about a man that, because he couldn't break me, what happened to him. It's a tragic end to his life, actually. The power of me is our biggest enemy. Because here's what happens. God speaks to you and you doubt it. Me gets in the way. And so you pull back. You know, we need to be very sensitive to the Lord's voice and very obedient to his call and just do it and surrender. Whatever it is for your life, whatever you're battling with, whatever part of me's got you bound. Do not worry, church, what's coming and far as none of us can control what's going to blow up. We can be aware, we can do what we can ourselves, but we have to trust God. God, you got to watch over my family, my home, my nation. God, watch over me. My kids, when I go to school. I mean, how many mothers was it hard that week after all that happened to send your kids to school? It's hard for Melanie to send Ashley that next week, that Monday. We talked about it. Let her, you know when she's going to that school. But see, I've got to trust that God's got my hand on my child. Do I really think I can protect my kid more than God can? Now, let's get real for a minute. Do I really think I can protect my kid more than God can? I was talking to somebody this week, and we were talking. They made a statement that says, sometimes God needs a helping hand. And I didn't say anything, kind of let it go, but really kind of, I don't know, like, God don't need a helping hand. God is the helping hand. But some of us have that mentality, God needs a helping hand. No, he don't. God needs my AK-47. No, he don't. God's got this. God gave, I think Don preached on this one time. I have too, but he preached on it recently. God gave, what's his name in Judges? Gave him victory in that war. Why am I going to blank on his name? It wasn't Samson. Huh? Who? Yes, thank you. Gideon, Stacy. Gideon. Yes, God gave Gideon victory in a war. Now, we got some Marines in here. If I say, David, Don, David, y'all are like Newhart Show. Hey, I'm Bob, Brother Darrell, Brother Darrell, whatever. Okay. David, David, Don, David, David. The three D's. If I say, boys, we got an battle to fight. Okay. How many are fighting, boss? Captain, general, how many fighting? Well, I'm going to send you three out against about 50,000. Yeah, you would. That's the pride, see? That's the pride I'm talking about. So, they're like, whew. All right, boss, you sure about this? Three against 50,000. What's the plan? I'll handle it from here. You just stand there and be quiet. Okay. So they're out there on the front line. Captain said, wait on the sound. All of a sudden, God begins to move. And without one shot being fired, without one person being killed of the good team, 300 fighters ran off 150,000 without ever firing a shot. So who could protect better? Gideon and his chariots and catapults and horses? Or his God? His God protected them and won the battle for them. So we have to get out of that, break that power of me, so that he can be seen in our lives this year. That's what he wants. He wants dependency. He wants that. Folks, I need my wife as much as she needs me, I hope. Probably more. I need her in my life. You know what? I'm sure she likes being needed, feeling needed for a purpose. Feeling needed as my wife, my life partner, needed as my soulmate. I like feeling needed. When Melanie comes home crying every day, just every now and then. She's got burdens she's sharing, you know. I enjoy that she can cry to me. And sometimes all she needs to do is just talk. I just don't say nothing. I just listen and listen and listen. Listen. Shh. Uh-huh. Listen. And I like that. God wants to feel that way too, that we need him. He desires that. Can you imagine God's ears hearing? We use Don for example. We pick on him because he's nice and strong and then kind of set the format for this. Where he says, Lord Jesus, I am a Marine. But Lord Jesus, I can do nothing without you. And I depend on you for all my life. You protect me, you bless me, and you favor me. But it's you that does it, not me. I am a Marine in desperate need of you all the time. Wow. What happened to God's ears, I wonder? Don? Is that you? Oh, Don. Wow. Something must have happened at Living Word. Let me look back in time. Oh, yeah. Wow, Don. Oh, no, it's David. Sorry, my bad. That's what God wants, church, is our earnest dependency again. You know, we're all dependent on something. Some of us are addicted to drugs or alcohol or TV or gossip. We all have our thing, sweets. If I said, see, if you can go the next 30 days without any sweets, y'all would follow right now, have a coma. Just thinking about it. If I said no sweet tea for a month, I'd fall over to coma. I mean, there's things we're addicted to, all of us. Some of us are addicted to our money. We say we're not. It's like, I'll tell you this in closing. Great funny joke. Guys in church, he stands up. Pastor, I want to testify. Please do. I want to testify how God's blessed me financially. Testify. When I first started coming to this church, said I only had a dollar or two in my pocket. I was broke. You had an offering. I gave it all. Gave both my dollars in faith. Today, I stand here a millionaire. Everybody's clapping. Praise God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You know, people shouting, falling. Woo! Glory to God. Preacher said, son, I dare you to do it again. Give it all. Get it? He gave it all the first time. I dare to give it all. Kind of a thing telling us where we are. Where we are. You know, God's checked me before where I have went and I've given money to people personally to bless them because I knew they had a need, and I would pray like everybody else, God bless them, God bless them, and then God speak to me, well, you're the ones to bless them. Ooh, I don't like hearing that. Let's be honest. You don't like hearing that. You're the one, I got to bless them. I want you to bless them. So you do. When we become the blessing, we become the blessed. And so when you become the blessing in the local house of God, you become the blessed as well. When you are doing what you're supposed to do, your part in supporting the local house of the Lord. So it's a new year. It's time to giddy up, get saddled, and get ready to ride. On God will I lean in 2013. On God will I lean. No matter what I see, no matter what comes our way, I'm going to lean on God. He's bigger than anything that comes in my path. Trust Him. Break the power of me. I think that's my last slide, ain't it, Christian? Yeah. All right. You got to come back tonight to hear what happens to a king who did not end up well because of he couldn't ever break me. Thank you for being with us on this first Sunday of the new year. I'm going to ask the ushers to come this time for you to give your tithe, your offering, your building fund. Continue to support that church. We got to get it going before we can get anything going. So support the church. It's your avenue for the blessing.